Well, let's pray as we begin anyway, okay?
Okay.
Father, I just want to thank you that we're your sons and daughters, and that we can cry out as Paul did, "You're our papa." That's the kind of intimacy, our daddy, that you wish to have with us. And it's all because of the grace purchased through your only begotten Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ of God, who bore our sin at Calvary, took it to its death, and rose over death, sin, and Satan to live forever. And he lives in us this morning, and we are grateful to be fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. We invite your Holy Spirit to enable us to grow by that same Spirit that he gave us today. We lift our nation, our churches, indeed the world, before you and invite you to exercise your sovereignty over it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Can I share this?
Please, Al.
Well, I've been studying, reading the book of Jeremiah at night. And, you know, Jeremiah was the prophet that spoke to Israel before the Babylonian captivity.
Yes.
And told them of all the things that they were doing wrong and how they should return to the Lord. And so one of the main things that the Lord was unhappy with them about was that they were sacrificing their children to the god Molech.
Yes, I recall.
And so I was about to go to sleep last night, and this just came together. This is from a lot of different sources that we've heard over the last few months, but I just had to get up and write this down. In 1970, New York State legalized abortion. First state to do it, first time in the U.S. In 1973, the Supreme Court legalized abortion nationally. In 2019, New York State and Virginia legalized abortion up to and including at the time of birth. You know, we've had 64 million unborn murdered since 1970. And that brings us really to a year of jubilee from 1970.
That's right.
50 years later. In a jubilee year, you're supposed to return things back to where they belong.
Wow.
Back to their rightful status. We know abortion is an abomination before the Lord. And Trump was unexpectedly elected in 2016, and he's been the most pro-life president that we've ever had. He's elected two, you know, nominated two conservative justices to Supreme Court. Then Ruth Bader Ginsburg died on September 18th, which is Rosh Hashanah this year. Mm-hmm. It's the first day of the Feast of Trumpets.
That's right.
First day of the 10 days of awe and repentance for the nation of Israel, when they are supposed to evaluate themselves before Yom Kippur, which was the day of judgment and the day of atonement for Israel. She died on the 18th. That was that first day of awe for our nation. On the so that opened up the potential, if she is placed on the court, to reverse Roe v. Wade and send it back from being a national legislation for abortion to states individually to decide. And on September 26th was the day of return in Washington, D.C., with Kahn and Franklin Graham. And that is the day of the return of those 10 days of awe. September 28th is Yom Kippur. That's the day of atonement in Israel. But if you look to the book of Revelation, Yom Kippur is the day of judgment. It's the day of the seventh trumpet, the day of the seven vials, and the day when when the church is gone for sure, and the earth is cleansed of sin, God kills all the wicked. And so here we are now. We're 3 weeks before the election. And the Senate is coming up with this decision about nominating Barrett to the Supreme Court. And so what's going on is that the Senate and this nation is in a position to do just what the Bible told Israel. We have to choose life or choose death. If the senators nominate her to the court, there's a possibility that we will end up choosing life on a national level and pass that decision down to the states. On the other hand, we could choose death. But if we do that, we are definitely opening the door for that judgment to come on the U.S. So we're at the point where we choose life or we choose death. And it's a spiritual battle, and that's why it's important, so important for us to pray and intercede for our senators, for the court, for the vote coming up, because we're at the crossroads. And I personally believe that we're already at the beginning of the 7 years, and that Abrahamic Accord was the beginning of that peace treaty with Israel. So I think time is short, and I think the church has got to get on its knees. The Christians have got to vote, and we've got to choose life.
Amen.
Amen. I think, too, as you say that, I've had to sort of re-rehearse in my own mind the second coming of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned on several podcasts, but on our Zoom here, that over the years since I became a Christian, I've heard many second coming scenarios, mm-hmm. and none of them touched me. It wasn't that I didn't like them. It's just they didn't touch the belly, my spirit, until the last year. Mm-hmm. And everything has changed inside of me. And I began to sort of compromise my own thinking by saying, well, you're just getting to be an old man. That's just part of it. But I think it's far more than that. Yeah. I look out at the things that Al has just mentioned. I see what the church is under such, I think, judgment of God, that God is saying, please repent,
right.
Bride of Christ. And I believe that many in the church are repenting.
Yeah.
A lot of people are staying within their denominations because God has called them to. A lot of other people are leaving their denominations because God called them to do.
Right.
So I can't look at somebody and say, well, why are you staying there and why are you not?
Yeah.
It's an individual thing, but behind it both is you remember the king is coming.
Yeah.
The king is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. He is coming, and I'm so excited about it. Again, my caveat is maybe it's just that I'm an old guy, and I'm kind of hoping that it'll just happen before I have to die. But I'm not afraid of death. Death has already been taken care of.
Right.
There's something abroad in what Al is talking about this morning that is important for us to embrace as sons and daughters of the King. He's coming again.
Right, right.
He's coming again.
Right.
Well, what does that mean to each of us? I look at the screen down here and I see Jane and Buck and Donna and Helen, and I go across both. What is he saying to each of you about the time in which we live? We are all living together in the same time. How are you responding to it? I think Al has mentioned how he and Jan are. I'm mentioning how I am. Are any of you responding similarly, or Are there other revelations you have about this time in which we live? Love to hear.
I'm excited about it.
Well, I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been praying about it over and over and over. And the Lord keeps telling me he's coming soon.
Amen.
He's coming soon.
That's what I hear too.
Yeah.
And I keep hearing these, you know, people saying, well, get ready for Jesus coming soon. And I say, well, Lord, what do I do to get ready for your coming? And he said, believe and
amen.
Read your Bible and do what you're doing and praise me. And yeah. That's what you do.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You worship and you praise and you thank God.
Right. Try to get as many people into the kingdom as we can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
We went to a meeting the other day of some people who are trying to form an activist type group of Christians to combat what we're seeing going on around us. And one of the themes that they were saying was, that most Christians look around at the world falling apart around us, and they all just say, well, I'm going to get my bags packed to go to, I'm going to go wait at the station for the rapture. And, you know, these other people, they're on their own, you know. And said, we need to redouble our efforts, you know. We need to work harder now than we ever have.
Right. You may be waiting a while for that train to come in, too.
Yeah, we can't just sit there on the bench waiting for the train to come.
Yeah, right.
we've got to be about the Lord's business.
Right, right.
And that's to establish his kingdom on earth.
Amen, amen.
And it's costly, but I think it's part of the joy of being a follower of Jesus. And I just don't want that verse, remember it says, you gain the whole world and lose your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Man. There's nothing more here that I really want.
No,
except the relationships with you all or with my family. Yeah. What a time to be alive.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Wonderful.
But the church is getting together. That's what's so neat. We're getting together with you, with each other. We look at the screen, and I feel like I'm in church with all of you when I'm together. Here, so it's kind of like an in-gathering over, is this virtual or?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's yeah. kind of,
yes.
I feel like I'm in church. This is the church. We yeah. are the church.
Amen.
And this is the in-gathering, I think, right now, that I even had a dream last night of a bunch of people that I was fascinated by looking at in their eyes. I could see Christ. I mean, I felt like we were all together in one accord, you yeah. know, like I do when we're together here with you guys. I feel yeah. kind of like this is something I can grasp when I'm thinking mm-hmm. church. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking of a building or any denomination or any people I know here, but I think of you guys because you're my church.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're
the organization. Excuse me.
We're
go
getting
ahead.
Prepared. You know, I think our in gathering is here. In gathering, we're gathering, mm-hmm. and I think that we're getting prepared for whatever God's going to do. We're going to see it right. together in this group. I mean, I just feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I do too. Yeah. I do too.
I was reading Psalm 91 because we have a relative that is going through some tests right now. And verse 10 just kept coming to me and coming to me and coming to me. And it says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague fill your dwelling.
Right.
And I think that is so powerful. No plague shall come through your dwelling. And I think that speaks for all who we love. Is encased in your dwelling. And he gives us such promises that so many times we overlook them or we just forget about it. And, you know, the script, pastors, we keep hearing pastors say, read scripture every day. And one pastor says, when I get up, the first thing I do, I have breakfast. And he said, that's his scripture readings.
Mm-hmm.
And if only we all would do that, I think that would give us the strength to be more bold in this last days.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're entering in the last, in the tribulation also.
Amen. And then, well, that Psalm 91 is for those who are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High is dwelling in Jesus, in the throne with him in the heavenly places and holy of holies in heaven. That's where we are.
Yes. Amen.
And we're in him in there. Nothing can touch you when you're in Jesus.
That's right.
Years ago, when I first comprehended Ephesians, I believe it's 2, where it says we are seated with him in heavenly places. That is so magnificent and almost unbelievable. We're here, but in the spirit.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Ephesians 2:6.
At the same time.
That's where we are. That's where we believe we are.
Yeah.
If we believe that, that's where we are.
Well, somebody read that Ephesians 2:6. I was going to turn to it quickly. I'm not as quick as I used to be. 2:6.
Yeah.
And, oh, yes. Starting at 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Right.
In order that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
Seeing for so many, for centuries, that's been taught as a future event by the church.
That's true.
It's not future, it's now.
It's now.
And there is a sense in which it's always been now.
It's always been now, right?
Yeah.
You believe it, it's true for you.
Amen. It might be meaningful in light of what Al shared and others of you are sharing now for us to go back and look again at Jesus' words about his own return and just kind of pause and reflect upon the scripture, because it's, we're asking the Holy Spirit to inbreathe it in Matthew 24.
Yeah, boy.
It's amazing, because they wanted to know, what are the signs of your coming and the end of the age? That's verse 3 of Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said, I love what he begins with, see to it that no one misleads you. Isn't that a strange place to start? Be sure. Why would he begin there?
Because we're seeing that happen.
Yes.
Hey, look what's going on in the Senate right now.
They're all
deceived.
Yeah, I must admit, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But he says, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. I've oftentimes, when I read that, back to that verse in the Sermon on the Mount, let me read it to you. It's from the 6th chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. It talks about where Jesus is saying that those are coming to want to mislead you. And it says in the 7th chapter, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons? And in your name perform miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I can remember just going over that verse again and again and again with so many questions that came out of it. And I said, you mean legitimate things can happen through people who are not obeying the Lord? He says, yes. And then I was led to that verse in Romans where it says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In other words, just because you and I may misuse a gift given to us, God doesn't say, oh, Tom, you misused it. I'm taking it back. No, that gift becomes our judge. How did you use it for the kingdom's sake? Mm-hmm. And that's why I go back there. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So when I read this in 24 of Matthew, those kinds of verses come back to me. I'm the Christ that will mislead many. And then he says, talking about wars and rumors of wars. What is the basis of wars and rumors of wars but lies?
Right.
Lies. And so you must not be frightened, for these things must take place.
Right.
But that's not yet the end.
Yeah. The Passion really says it quite well. It says, at that time, deception will run rampant. So beware that you are not fooled. And then he goes on to say, you will hear of wars nearby and revolutions on every side with rumors of wars to come. Don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of the world systems is destined to happen. But it won't yet be the end. It will still be unfolding.
Right. I love that translation, Karen.
Just personally,
go ahead.
I just kind of comment on what you said earlier, you know, that's the scripture about Lord, Lord, you know, just because we use the name of the Lord, you know, I think she does too, that God's going to judge us not on the good things we do, but on whether or not we did what he asked us to do.
Oh,
you know, there's a tremendous definition in what you're saying. Say it again.
God's going to judge us on whether or not we did what he asked us to do, not on the other good things that we did. You look what happened to Jonah. I mean, God told him, I want you to go over here. And he didn't want to. He decided, no, instead, I'm going to go on the missions trip to Tarshish. You know.
So, I gotcha.
Him, you know.
I really understand that. I've mentioned before, I've had some situations where I felt that opportunities opened for me to do this or this. And the Lord would simply say, I didn't call you to this or this or this. I called you here.
Right.
And I think what you're saying is so true. There is a peace that comes when you're where God wants you.
Yeah.
And you're living out his life in the place you are. Because there are times, I mentioned this morning, I get up and I've been in the house all alone. You would not believe some of the things I've been yelling.
Oh,
boy, about 3 o'clock this morning, I said, okay, God, you are able to heal me. I am sick of this. It hurts. Come on. That doesn't sound very loving, does it? But my point is, God is saying, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up a second. Something I'd like to share as a result of what we're talking about. I was with some brethren this weekend, and we were listening to an old hymn in which it says, he gives and he takes. Mm. And we began to meditate. He giveth and he taketh.
Yes.
Some of the times he takes things I don't want him to take.
Yes.
And he gives things that I don't want him to give.
Yes.
I'm not making much sense, am I? I think I'm going down a blind road for a minute here.
No, you're making sense.
A trail.
I'm telling you, I just, you know, I said, well, Lord, I can't even help myself move. I can't lift things. How am I going to move in the next 10-14 days? And he said, that's not your business, son. Well, what do you mean it's not my business? This is in the middle of the night. I said, what do you mean? I'm the guy moving with my girl, you know? What do you mean it's not my business? It's already taken care of. Do you realize how much stuff is here, Lord? Mm-hmm. We got a lifetime of stuff we puddled up here, you know.
Do you know how fast your kids can pack that stuff up, Tom?
Yeah. I guess I don't, Carrie.
Yeah. I bet they're quick when they get after it.
Right.
Oh yeah. Matt came in the other day and I was lamenting this. I said, "What about this? And what about this? And can we move this?" And he just said, "We just cooled your jets. It's going to be all right." Well, I would rather be in a different place.
Sure.
Doing a different thing.
Sure.
And God is saying, well, that's your choice. You're sure free to choose it. However, if you want my presence, I'm not going to just, you know, throw you away. That's not the point. But if you want my peace and my presence, here's the way we're going to go.
Yeah.
But. Well, anyway, let's read on a little bit more in 24. Yes.
This makes me think, you know, God only asks two basic things of us, to trust and to obey.
Right.
And they're not complicated, but they're not easy, but they're simple.
That's
true. We try to make it a whole lot less simple.
Yes,
you know, I think that's true. There's something about the arrogance of the old man that wants to do because he knows rather than do because he believes and he trusts. Oh, God, help us to trust. Thank you for that, Helen. It says, for nation will rise against nation, famines and earthquakes. All these are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. I have been personally through in the last 2 or 3 weeks some situations over homosexualism and lesbianism that people, because they had a friend or a family member that began to become involved in that, changed their whole theology.
Right.
They just changed their whole theology because they have a loved one who is now involved in this.
Yeah.
So therefore, what they believed about those particular activities not being pleasing to God, but indeed sinful, and that God has a way out for them, they've rejected their church, their fellowship, to just embrace this one that they love.
Yeah.
Have any of you been through similar things?
Yeah.
Oh, my, yes.
Well, that person or those people made their choice, either man or God.
That's right. And the same way that you deal with the gender problems is the same way you deal with lust or murder or hatred or theft or any sin. You deal with them all the same way. And the moment you separate out and say, this is a different sin that we deal with differently. And Calvary doesn't cover this one. Jesus doesn't really care about this.
Yeah. You know, in education, for the past many, many years, I would like to say 50, that things have changed so much. For instance, 30 years ago, they had introduced sex education for children. And we have read that the purpose of that was to demoralize the children.
Right.
A good 30 years ago, they introduced the National Education Association introduced as a bill that October would be Gay and Lesbian Month. This is maybe 28 years ago. And some of the Christians fought that. And that bill was rescinded, but it was attached to another bill. And that did go through. And they were wanting to bring speakers and people of that persuasion to talk about how normal it is. And that was 30 years ago. So these young people have been demoralized.
Well, I do know this. I've had people say things to me that I've known for years, of such anger that I'm so critical and judgmental. And they'd never known me to be critical and judgmental with any other thing until this particular sin entered their relationship somehow. I just find it's easy to compromise God and his kingdom with the world, the flesh, and the devil.
There's whole denominations that have done that, Tom. Entire denominations that have changed their, well, they have gay priests, et cetera, et cetera. And they just make it so that you, Pat had said that you make a choice, either God or the world. That's my paraphrase. And they muddy the water so much that it's like you can have both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think what God thinks about that. The rainbow is what exists over his throne.
Right.
Well, I think they use that as a symbol of their anti-God activity.
That is an amazing thing why they would choose that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who could be anti-rainbow?
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, that's why they choose that, I think, and that's why they choose the word marriage instead of civil union, things like that. It was very important to them to use the word marriage and not some other word. And I think that Matthew 24, verse 12 speaks to that so well.
Lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the underlying reason that all this is happening to the churches and stuff is that this movement is trying to legitimize itself.
Yes.
Oh, they have.
And they've got the laws changed by fiat, by the court, because they couldn't get the population to be convinced of it, to legitimize that movement or that actions. And now they're getting churches or essentially blackmailing churches, and in order to, they don't care about church, they don't care about God, they care about having that medallion that says the United Methodist Church or the Presbyterian Church supports this, you know, and so they can say, we're legitimate, you have to accept us. Well, now we're legitimate, see, we're, you know, churches, so there's something wrong with you if you don't.
Right. Yes, and
just like in some countries, like Canada right now, if a pastor is preaching against homosexuality from the pulpit in Canada, he can be arrested and charged by breaking the law in Canada. That's a hate crime.
Thrown in jail. That's true.
But I'll take issue with you. They couch the issue as that we love God too, and that you're trying to keep God away from us. We love God as well. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference.
Yeah.
But they're not listening to God, what God says in his scripture.
No, that's right.
We have a great granddaughter who is now 9. And when we have her, we will tell Bible story to her. We'll read some scripture. And when she discovered that the rainbow had another meaning besides the alphabet people, she was amazed. Her eyes got wide, and she couldn't imagine that God had made a promise, and the symbol was a rainbow. That was a revelation to this little girl.
Yeah.
And because lawlessness increased, people's love will grow cold.
Right.
How would you define cold love? They'll seem opposite terms.
Yes.
Cold
love.
And you know, that is a logical explanation, because God calls us to love. He doesn't call us to like anybody.
Right.
He calls us to love them, which are two entirely different things.
They sure are. And they're only possible by grace.
Right.
Right.
You must be born again to love that way.
Right, right.
This particular situation I'm going through this week, someone asked me, well, do you still love this person? I said, of course. Well, what if they go ahead and have matrimony between the two sexes? Now, will you still love them? Of course. I don't withdraw my love because people sin.
Right, sure,
thank
sure.
God. God didn't withdraw his love from you and me because we've sinned.
Right.
But I also can't attend the function and by my presence say, I agree with this.
Right, right,
right. But and let me tell you, I've had some things said that I didn't think people would ever say about me, but they're saying them.
Yeah.
Narrow-minded,
yeah,
negative,
sure.
Unloving, yeah. Ungodly, uncaring, unchristian.
Oh, sure.
Right.
And, you know, that hurts with people that you've known for years.
And don't forget pious and judgmental.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Old and crotchety.
All right. Part of the deceit.
Well, remember, we're all a bunch of losers in God's book. It's only by his grace that we're mounted in here.
Right.
Mark Lowry was talking about that the other day. We watched an old video of him, and he said, hey, we're all a bunch of losers. He said, look at King David. He said, man, he was a terrible person, you know, when you think about it. Essentially, a Bronze Age warrior, you know, like a lord, you know, warlord, you know, that's a warlord. That's what he said. He said, and he did a lot of things wrong. He said, but let's face it. He said, if they had had Prozac back in those days, half of the book of Psalms wouldn't have been written. Because
may I steal that? I love that. That's so true. When we continue in that verse, it says, and this is the one that caught me about 2 years ago that I keep going back to, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. And I know I've said it innumerable times, but the gospel of the kingdom has not been preached in probably 1,400 years.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel of being born again has been. The gospel of receiving the Spirit has been. But those are the prerequisites to preaching the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God on earth. And even when we go back to the prayer that we refer to so often, thy kingdom come.
Thy will be.
Thy will be done on earth.
Right.
That's why you and I are here. We're not just here to get people born again. That's a beginning. But we've gone back on several occasions. Recall in 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul says, you guys, you don't want to grow up. Yeah, you're saved, but you're not of much use to God and his kingdom. And I don't want to be there. I want to be of use to God and his kingdom. But I also don't like being judged. I don't know anybody that really likes it. I don't know, maybe there's some sick people out there. But
doesn't the Bible say something about blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake?
Amen.
Count it all joy.
Yes,
yeah.
Count it all joy.
Well, Al, Carrie, I haven't always counted it all joy. I've gotten a little irritated and upset. Yeah, right. Well, why are you picking on me? You know, I'm just trying to love and care for people. Oh, you want you're bigoted and you're fascist and you're this and you're, oh, God help us.
Well, he didn't say it would be easy.
That's right. That's right. I think that there has been a kind of a gospel that says, come to Jesus and everything's going to be wonderful.
Right, right.
Well, there is a sense everything will be, but that doesn't mean that the path is just without problems and difficulties.
Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Persecuted.
Is that in the Bible, Al?
Yes, it is.
why does he pull out that verse? Why can't I? But the gospel of the kingdom has been preached in the last 100 years in a way that it's never been before all over the world. I have friends of mine that are in India that says, I had a couple and his wife who came back about 4 or 5 months ago. I mentioned it briefly, who were persecuted from church to church because they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the church had never suffered the kind of persecution since they began to preach the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Their churches were burned down, pastors and their families were beheaded, and they barely made it out of India with their own lives. They were exhausted when they got back. They said, you can't believe the change that's taking place where the gospel of the kingdom is being preached.
Right.
Because there's an exclusiveness about the gospel of the kingdom. And it says, and then to be a witness and the end shall come. That's why I think what Alice read in the beginning, I think we're in the last days. Mm-hmm. You know, I almost want to say now, don't remember that I said that. If it doesn't happen, just like that. But there's something about this. Whether here I am this morning, I turn on the television and I'm watching the senators and the judge and all that, and I'm saying, what is going on here? I've never heard such anger and accusation. And what I can remember that was it Ginsburg and both she and who was her friend, the guy?
Scalia.
They were 93 out of the senators and 97 out of the voted them both in. And now you can't even talk about it.
Okay.
That says to me something's happening that's far beyond the courts.
Right.
It's happening among people. Excuse me, go ahead.
Spiritual warfare.
It is. It's going on everywhere.
Yeah.
How many times have you all referred to Ephesians 5 about what's going on right now? Mm-hmm. About we don't battle against flesh and blood.
Right, right.
You know, it occurred to me the other day that there's in Ephesians 5:14, I believe is what it was, it says it is even a sin to discuss the evil things that people do in dark places.
Mm-hmm.
But yet nowadays, it's glorified. It's on TV. They make specials about you name it, and they're going to have special about it and talk about it. And next thing, and it's almost glamorized.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I was looking at that text you referred to. The days are evil. So then don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine. That's dissipation. Speak to one another in hymns. Blessing. It's just you and I are going to stand out in these days. And I'm having to say things to people who I thought were pretty solid that really faced some issues when one they knew entered a lifestyle that's anti-God. I'm just stunning. I don't know if any of you have faced this at all, but I've found it very, very hard to deal with at a personal level. Well, anyway, he says, then when you see the abomination of desolation spoken through Daniel, what was that abomination desolation spoken through Daniel in the holy place? Any of you remember?
What?
When? Go ahead. Desolation.
Temple.
Well, because Daniel talked about it. Daniel 9.
Yes.
Talked about it. And then there was the shadow type of it, Antiochus Epiphanes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Wow.
But how would you describe the it? What it is? What is that? That abomination of desolation. What's the abomination? What's being desolated in Daniel?
Claiming to be God.
Pardon me?
Claiming to be God.
Yeah.
claim to be God. So the Antichrist is going to sit on the in the ark, in the holy place, holy holies, in the temple, and claim that he's God.
Well, I read this, and I don't know, it just makes me want to turn to you and to the Lord and just say, Lord Jesus, we know that your Holy Spirit is moving, always has, always will. You have not forsaken us. We have forsaken you at many levels. But we ask that you would grant that spirit of genuine sorrow and repentance to bring us any place that we are forming opinions that are apart from your spirit and your word. Father, we ask that we might be faithful and bear with joy the rejection sometimes of longtime friends because they're choosing another way.
Right.
Father God, I just pray that you'll strengthen us in whatever place you've placed each one of us. I look at my brothers and sisters. Each of us here is in a different place. But it's a place that you have allowed us to go and be and live in. Help us by your spirit to be faithful where we are, to walk by faith, to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's accepted and approved of or not. Bless the churches that some of us have gone to. Bless the churches that some of us have called to stay in. Others are called to leave. Father, we just ask that each of us will know in our belly, out of our innermost being, the peace that passes all understanding so that we can, in this tumultuous time, be faithful as sons and daughters of God, and that your kingdom will come into and through us to a lost world.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.